In this week's podcast, we caught up with Govert van Drimmeland and talked about XLDNA, his product which allows .NET code to be called into Excel via a standard XLR. Enjoy! So we're joined today by Govert, who's based in Johannesburg, South Africa. He's a lecturer in mathematics at the University of Johannesburg and also a software developer for Rohan Grain Management Solutions. Govert, pleased to meet you. How are you doing?
Hello, Ross. I'm well. Nice talking to you.
Good. So, Govert, the reason we've got you on is to talk about the XLDNA product that you've been developing for the last few years. Exactly how long has that been out now?
I started work on that in July 2005, mm-hmm. And I got the first version, or I published the first version in January 2006.
Right, so it's quite a mature product now. It's been around, it's been for a few iterations. Just for anyone who's perhaps not familiar with it, perhaps just describe what XLDNA is and what it does and who it's aimed at, that type of thing.
Well, XLDNA is a library to get, so that could be C# sharp or VB.NET stuff, any managed code. I kind of started this because I have a friend who uses Excel and uses VBA extensively. Mm-hmm. And I had started using .NET around 2002, and I was very excited, and so I'm a big fan of .NET, and wanted him to use it, and his question is, how do I make my user-defined functions using .NET? And I didn't have a great answer. I think in Excel, in that XP version, Excel 2002,
yeah,
they made this option available to make automation add-ins, mm-hmm. which would then give you a way of doing user-defined functions from a library that's outside VBA. And I had kind of figured out how to do that around 2004, and I put up a code project write-up of how to do that, because it was a little bit tricky to do that, to make that automation add-in kind of library with .NET, because you needed a funny registry key to be set up, which VB6 libraries happen to set by default, and the .NET stuff just didn't. So yeah, it was kind of tricky to find exactly how to do that.
And that's up on CodeFlex, isn't it? That project. Project.
That was like just a code project write-up, actually.
Yeah.
And that was my first attempt. So, how to make automation add-ins using .NET. That wasn't great. It wasn't a great solution I actually found.
And so had you used Excel previously to this in your sort of mathematical work, or was it just purely to help a colleague?
I use Excel a little bit, but he does a lot of finance stuff.
Right.
With Excel. I had kind of helped into VBA side as well.
Yeah.
I was kind of keen to do more of the .NET stuff. Get that introduced.
Sure.
And so the automation add-in stuff worked, but that was not really a great answer. Mm-hmm. And then I ran into this German product called Managed XLL.
Yeah.
Which I thought it looked great from just the write-up and how you do it. The idea is you don't have to make this weird COM registration story. You just add some attributes to your code, and it would they'd be functions or macros in Excel.
Sure.
And I thought that was awesome. And so the suggestion to my friend was, well, you should just buy this and use it, because I think that's great. But it became obvious that that's not going to be a solution for him either, because he teaches finance, and he needs something that he can give to his students and to his clients. And the management thing was actually so that every client had to have a license for the thing, and so it looked great, but I think it was a licensing model that wouldn't work for what we needed. But that also pointed me in the right direction, which is to glue into Excel using that native XLL interface instead of through this automation add. These are two different ways of making user-defined functions available for Excel.
So perhaps we should just discuss that in a little bit of detail. The Excel DNA basically accesses the Excel object via the C API and automation add-ins and VSTO and managed COM add-ins use the COM interface, which is two different interfaces. COM interface is relatively slow, and the C interface is relatively quick. Would that be fair to say?
It's contradictory issues on how slow or fast the COM side is. The COM side isn't necessarily slow. It depends kind of on exactly how the glue goes. But COM add-ins, like VSTO does, are not exposed as user-defined functions into Excel.
Right.
So you can't make in VSTO something that you can put into a cell as a formula, like equals my special function or whatever sort.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make cell formula, user-defined formulae in VSTO.
Right.
The automation way is through, it's like it's another way of making an add-in that glues into Excel.
Okay.
It's not actually the same as a regular COM add-in. Even though it's a COM object, Excel sees it as a separate kind of add-in and manages it a bit different. But yes, so that's one way to do it. Another way is this XLL native interface that's been around since Excel 97. And you make a Windows DLL with some standard functions that are exported, and Excel can recognize those functions and get things going that way, and then call those functions as user-defined functions. You can register functions in a DLL to work that way. So in a way, it often seems like that integration is closer to being the native Excel add-in model, because also the data types that go back and forth through this XLL interface seem like the data types that Excel uses internally.
Yeah.
So it's not something that's translated into the COM layer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're adding these kind of different layers, I guess every time you've got another set of translations in place, it makes it a bit slow. So
yeah.
Not having the COM part in there, I think, does help. So I don't think I've really seen good and reliable timings on this, but I think the automation add-in style of making functions is definitely much slower than this. And it's given... it's given managed add-ins, .NET add-ins, quite a bad name because people think it's very slow.
Yeah.
And it turns out if you're doing it right, it's actually very fast. And the overhead that you have in going into managed code and back to the native Excel code is actually it's very low. I think in some settings I've measured it to be some tens of process instructions, which means you can do hundreds of thousands of these calls a second. So it's typically not a barrier, but some people who have tried it said, oh, this is unbearably slow if you do the automation add-ins.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there are other advantages to the native add-in interface, the XLL interface, which is it's a bit easier to integrate with things like the function wizard so that you get... you can put your function categories that you create in the function wizard, and you can add descriptive help text and descriptions for your function and for the parameters of your function, which is something that people often want and like. And it's something that you can't do easily with VBA. There are some workarounds to do that, but it's much easier through the XLL interface. Okay. So the performance is great, and you get, it's like it's the real Excel add-in model that you use it, and not the COM one that got added on.
Yeah.
And that works quite well. I've been very happy with that, going that direction, and it was really because there was a proof that it can be done out there, and that was enough to kind of keep me going.
I think... this field of accessing Excel or consuming managed code in Excel, there are a couple of add-ins out there. There's managed, there's XLL managed, I think it's called, which is a commercial product, and that's quite expensive. Excel DNA is free, isn't it? And there are a couple of other.
It does. Excel DNA is an open source free product on CodePlex now, and it's explicitly also free for commercial use. So if you want to take it and really customize it for your environment, that's great. I just felt something like that needed to exist. And I've been happy making it that way. Yeah, there are some other options. There's a really great product from some guys in Belarus called Add-in Express.
Yeah, Add-in Express.
It's more of a, I'd say, a visual VSTO competitor. They also cater for Outlook and Word and, you know, all the whole lot of suite. And it's also that it's kind of a, that extend Visual Studio to make it easier to make these kind of add-ins. I haven't looked at it too closely, but they also have an XML module that I think is, you know, I think it uses some of the Excel DNA stuff that I made, but then they've customized it to use their own loader paths and all of that. So it's kind of a customized version. But it also does a lot more because it it has these Visual Studio wizards and and it works in I've got like Outlook add-ins and that kind of which is kind of a separate story. But I think that's quite a, I think it's a, it always seems like a nice product, and people that I've heard speak of it quite highly.
I've always heard good things about those Express products. I think they do a couple. I think they do some managed com wrappers as well, and just makes the whole process a lot easier when you're in Visual Studio. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of one commercial product. There's quite a few products that do C C++. XLL add-ins. XLW is, I guess, the most well-known free open-source one. And they also have some support for managed stuff, but what they basically do is they create a C, they generate, I think, a C interface to the managed code, which is, so it's not like a just a library that glues the managed code into Excel. It's something that generates something you'd compile into a library.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it too closely, but I think but it makes it really easy if you're working in C++ or something to get started with these XLL apps.
Yeah.
And there are some more products. So there's an XLL Plus one, which I think is very expensive, but also very full featured in terms of making C++ code into XLL. And So all of these use this native XLL interface that people were quite nervous about because it hadn't been updated since Excel 97, the SDK and stuff. But when Excel 2007 came out, Microsoft actually released a new version of the Excel SDK, which is the SDK that covers this XLL-style add-ins. And they had actually made significant improvements to what you can do with XLL add-ins, or these native add-ins. I think the most important thing they added there was support for long Unicode strings and support for the multi-threaded recalculation in 2002.
And so does XLDNA support the two API implementations?
It works kind of seamlessly with whatever the version of Excel is. So if supports all that stuff and 2010, you know, the long strings and whatever, and if you're running your same add-in under 2003 or some older version of Excel, your string would get truncated to that 255 character limit or whatever it was before.
Cool.
Stuff like the multi-threaded support is, of course, only in 2007.
Sure.
Your add-in would run in the same way in the previous versions. It just wouldn't have the multi-threaded recalculator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very cool. Okay, so, I mean, focusing directly now on XLDNA, I suppose one of the things that I like about it is that it's very, very simple to use. And there are basically two ways you can write an add-in with it. You can just literally drop the code into a text file and let the XLL compile it, or you can compile the library. Do you want to just talk us through how we might go about writing a solution with it?
I think the idea has always been that this should become something that's as easy to use as DBA is.
Yeah.
And that the assumption is not that you've got a Visual Studio or something installed on the same machine.
Mm-hmm.
So the .NET installation actually has the compilers built in. So every machine that's got .NET has a C# compiler and a VB compiler built in, and they're actually quite easy to use.
Yeah.
But the way that Excel DNA works is you can either create this XML file, which contains basically the directions for how the Excel DNA library should be put together. And that thing can have the source code in, or it can point to a pre-compiled DLL.
Yeah.
If you put the source code in there, at runtime, when the add-in is loaded, it compiles the source code, and it essentially has a DLL that it uses, the pre-compiled one would be used.
Uh-huh.
There are some disadvantages to having the source code there, one being that people can just look at your source code.
Sure.
So it's quite a big issue. And in general, with managed code, that thing of how do you prevent the library from being decompiled is actually quite an issue. And I think people need to understand that the way the .NET libraries work, they actually have a lot of meta information stored inside the library in the compiled code.
Yeah.
And there are these tools like .NET Reflector that would examine a library and it can basically reconstruct something that's quite close to the source code that you wrote, just because it has enough of the function names and parameter names embedded in the library. And that's kind of an issue with .NET code in general. And the way to really address that is tools called obfuscators, which will take the internal parts of your code and just rename things so that they're really not easy to understand what they're doing if you were to look at them in a tool like Reflect. And that works quite well, but people need to know that there's kind of this extra step needed if you're really worried about hiding your implementation.
Yeah, and I mean, that's probably one reason why people might choose to go down the compiled library route rather than the XML text file route, I suppose.
Yes.
If they wanted to compile it and ossificate it. But it's not with .NET, you know, it is a common language runtime and it is compiled at runtime, so it is difficult to really hide your code away 100%.
You can. The obfuscator tools do very well, because basically all the internal names that you use can be hidden. And what the obfuscator tools do is they just rename every function you've got to A or AA or A, something like that. And it really becomes very hard to then go back and say, well, what was this guy trying to do?
If you can't
see the names in it.
I suppose my problem with the ossification, Gover, is that can you not then extract the CL language and just have then a copy of the code and work from that?
You're very much in a similar position to somebody who's compiled a C or a C++ code. You can always extract the calls to outside libraries, and you can kind of follow through the flow of the code.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that makes the managed code so easy to decompile is that the names are embedded. And what the obfuscation does is it really makes it gets rid of your function and parameter names, and that makes the flow very hard to follow and very hard to use. There are some more sophisticated tools, and I think the obfuscator being more sophisticated. I know there's one called Smart Assembly that really goes out of its way to change also the flow of, without changing the computational meaning of your code, it really changes the flow quite radically as well.
Yeah.
So there are some tools. There's one that ships with there's an Express edition that ships with Visual Studio called .Dotfuscate. I've also used a bit. So, but people need to know that that's an issue. I think the other thing that people often worried about is the performance of managed code. Is it going to be fast enough? And how does it compare to C and C++, especially for like financial computation? I think people should test and try rather than just to leave everything I have, because I think we've found that the performance often is extremely good.
I've got some numbers here which have come from Simon Murphy, Smurf on Spreadsheets, Codematics. Limited testing, but I wouldn't hold him to it. But I think probably what he's come out with is about 10 times as fast as VBA function, UDF, and about half as fast as a native Excel or C++ function call. So pretty good performance all around, really.
Yeah. It depends also on what the split is between what you're doing inside the function that you're calling.
Sure.
And how much of this kind of transition penalty you have. But also people get quite excited because, especially in the .NET 4 version that's just been released, there are things like these task parallel libraries, which allow you to make parallel code, run your code in parallel processes very easily.
Yeah.
And I think people are quite excited about using that kind of... It's easier because you're a .NET environment. I think it's seen as much easier to use that kind of high-level libraries, which then make your code faster running on many calls at once.
And that's an extension, is it, into the .NET framework, that Parallels library?
Yes, it's an extra library on .NET, which is now part of the runtime that you're standard. But it's been available on previous versions for a while.
So that's now a part of the .NET 4 framework, but XLDNA, I think, works up to 3.5 at the moment?
Yes, I think .NET 4 supported it in this year. They've changed a little bit how the framework gets loaded into a process. In particular, they allow under .NET 4 that more than one version of the runtime be loaded into a process. So you could have a .NET 2 add-in running at the same time as a .NET 4 add-in, which wasn't possible in previous versions of the runtime. It actually caused some problems. Supporting those hosting interfaces, I think I need to do a little bit of work to get that to go. But it should not affect user libraries. It's one of the advantages of having kind of a glue part in there is it can take care of these kind of changes.
Sure. Okay, so here I am. If you've convinced me to go and try XLDNA, what are the steps I need to do to sort of create my first XLDNA add-in?
Also, you download the library from Codeplex. It's xldna.codeplex.com.
Is Codeplex the main site now, or is it the Google's group site?
The Google group is still the... that's the main support site.
Yeah.
And I think it's got more than 1,000 messages there of people just asking stuff. So it's the best reference, really. But the source code and stuff is hosted on Codeplex.
Right.
So that's the the source code repository and everything is there.
Okay.
Older versions as well. So you download that, and in the distribution directory there are some examples. But if you wanted to make your first add-in, you'd make an XML file which just has this DNA library start and end tags, and in there you could put the code of a Visual Basic module.
Yeah.
So you need to explicitly say yes. Like a module that you're making, so it's a public module, my first add-in, and in there you'd make public function, my function, and take whatever, A as double, B as double, and return, set up the return, and that VB function that you've got there, that's the whole story.
Yeah.
And then to deploy that, you take the standard XLL that you get for the distribution. You'd rename that to be whatever you want your add-in to be called. My first add-in.xll. The DNA file that you created needs to have the same name, so it's my first add-in.dna. And these are the only two files you need.
Yeah.
The XLL you can open in Excel just with file open, or you can add it as an add-in. always security is a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
On a high security setting in Excel, you need to drop that down at least to something which will prompt for add-ins that are not signed or something.
So, but that, they're the normal problems that you get with, you know, any type of add-in, I guess, in security.
Yes. And that's how you get started. You've made a function.
So it's just two files. So just recap that. It's just the most simplest implementation is basically a text file with some XML in it, and the XLDNA XLL, which you download from the website.
Exactly.
Put your code in the text file. You rename the two files to the same name. You drop them in a folder somewhere on the machine, on the target machine, open them up via Excel or add it as an add-in, and it's away and running, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how you get started.
And that's I think that is part of the beauty of this product, is it's so simple to use. Two files, deploy anywhere, it's just an X-copy sort of model, and you're up and running. The other option is to use the compiled library, and for that you need the DLL UTGate as well.
Yes, so you could create. Oh well, let me start by saying that the code that you've got in that that DNA file could have been Visual Basic code. It could have been C#. It could have been F# if you have F# libraries installed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that would work great. If you don't want to ship the code, you could make a managed DLL in any way that you like. Having your add-in library pre-compiled as a DLL.
Yeah.
And then you'd need to ship three files. You need the XLDNA XLL, which again you could rename to myaddin.xml.
Mm-hmm.
You need the .dna file, which is the one we had the code in before. But now, instead of having the code in there, you would just add an extra XML tag that says external library and give the path to your DLL.
Yeah.
And that way XLDNA knows which library to load. And then in your DLL, you'd have you could create public static functions, which would be in Excel.
Yeah.
And there are kind of two modes to go. Yeah, the one is to have Excel use every public static function as and expose that by default, or to mark up explicitly the functions that you want exported. And
right.
To mark up, there are these attributes that you'd add to your code. It's one of the features of .NET that you can add information attributes to a function or a class or a parameter. And that way you can mark up your code to say, these are the functions that should be exported to Excel, and you can add descriptions and category names for the function wizard there. And there are some other options like fitting it to be a volatile function or not, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, to get these attributes in your library, you need to reference some .NET library that defines these attribute classes.
Yeah.
Also, with XLDNA library called XLDNA.integration.dll, mm-hmm. which is the one that you would reference from your code to get a handle on these attributes and things. You don't need to redistribute that library. So
it's just three files, but when you're in Visual Studio writing your code, you say imports xldna.integration, and you go and find a reference for that, or you put it in the same directory as the solution, and it'll find it. But then when you then build that DLL, you can take it out of the distribution folder and stick it in another folder with the other two files, and again, you're off and running, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, It is very simple to use, and I think if anyone's looking for a bit more of an explanation, sometimes it's difficult to describe how to write code. There are some good examples over on the websites that we've discussed on the Google groups, and we'll link to those from the show notes.
Sure.
There's also, I think Simon talks a bit about how to implement it, as does Mike Woodhouse on his blog. So we'll put all those links up for people to go away and consume that information themselves. In terms of, there's a couple of new features which have come in perhaps in the last few months. One's the packager and one's the version 0.26, which exposes menus and real-time data feeds. How does the packager work? What does that do?
One thing I've been keen to make really easy is to have a distribution model for these add-ins that doesn't mean that you have to register things. Manage lots of libraries and Ideally, you want to make a single XOL. That's the add-in. And so the packing feature that was added earlier this year allows you to take this .dna file, which describes the add-in, and which will now have possibly like the ribbon XML stuff that we'll talk about, to take that DNA file and to take your library and to take maybe other libraries that you reference. So you might have a special process calculation library, but that also uses some mathematics library or some, like you were speaking earlier, of the...
Great Circle library, yeah.
Okay, so this packing feature, you would take the .dna file, which is like the description file for your add-in, together with your library functions, together with whatever other libraries you reference, and you can pack all of that into the XRL file. And I basically compress that and put that into the XRL file as resources,
right?
Which are extracted then at runtime.
Okay.
So it means that you can make out of many libraries a single XLL add-in that needs no other installation, and that can be opened in, it still requires the .NET framework to be installed.
Yeah.
But the dependent DLLs that you've got are all packed into the XLL. And I think that makes for a really neat distribution plan that's better than... having an installer and the whole thing.
Oh, like absolutely.
An add-in should be. It's an Excel add-in, and it does whatever you want it to do. So I've been waiting to do that for a while, and I'm quite chuffed that that's come together now.
How does that affect the security?
The other feature. Sorry?
How does that affect the security? Is it all then packaged into a DLL, or does
it? Yes, it's all packaged into a CDLL, and you could sign that whole package DLL.
Yeah.
And Excel would then see that as a signed DLL. Signing it, you really are, I mean, that means that you can't just change it on the fly.
Yeah, so...
signed with a certificate in the normal way.
So when it's packaged together in that single XLL DLL, does it then extract the .NET code and compile it, or how does that work?
You can do either again. You can either have the .NET code there, in the .DNA file, which is extracted and compiled in at runtime, or you can only have your pre-compiled DLL go in there.
But it just sticks the file in the...
orthogonal to the other options. It just means that you don't have to have, you know, three or how many other...
I understand. Yeah.
And files you clip all of that around, you only need a single XLL.
Okay.
Which I think is quite neat.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's much easier to give the user one file than three. There's always an opportunity for them to cock it up, even if it's very, very simple, isn't it?
Yeah. So the other new features that I've actually made a release of last week. The main one is support for the ribbon interfaces that were added in 2007 and which have also now been enhanced for 2010.
Yeah.
The Excel ribbon is certainly controversial. A lot of people really don't like it. I'm slowly warming up to it. slowly. Yeah. If you get to know the shortcuts, maybe that's Control F1 makes it hide and come back again.
It's a big
trick. And then it's actually quite nice. It's like having a single key that makes all your toolbars go away and come back.
Yeah, and it's
actually quite nice. And the other neat trick that people have to know is that if you hover the mouse over the ribbon, then your mouse wheel will actually go from tab to tab.
Ah, okay. That's quite.
So once you know that, the ribbon starts looking friendlier, and you might want to add it to your Excel DNA add-in.
Right. Interesting.
And so the plan for that at the moment is it's not a high-level wrapper over the ribbon, but it exposes all the functionality of the ribbon by... So I don't know if you know how the ribbon works.
So it's XML code again, isn't it?
Exactly. So what you do is you take that XML code and you drop it into that .DNA file as a custom UE section, and then that's loaded when your add-in is loaded. Together with that XML code that describes the tabs that you want to add ribbon and the groups and what buttons there are and drop downs, because the ribbon actually has quite a rich set of controls that you can put onto the ribbon.
Yeah.
You need to add a class to your add-in that derives from Excel Ribbon,
yep.
which is a class again defined in this Excel DNA integration library.
Yep.
And in there you handle the events. So the ribbon integration into Excel DNA would work by having this XML block that defines the tabs and everything added to your .dna file, and then in your code you would create a class that derives from the Excel Ribbon class, which is defined in the Excel DNA integration library. And there you'd add the handlers for these the ribbon button press events and that kind of thing.
And
the model is a bit strange between it's quite different to say the Windows Forms model of having a control that raises these events.
Right. You get callbacks and all this type of thing.
Into your class. So it's a little bit strange, but that's sorted well now by
and
Excel
also Gover, you've created a new class for support of classic command bars in versions
yes.
previous, and you can drop those three types. So if I wanted to write an add-in which targeted, you know, Excel 2003, 2007, 2010, I could drop all that accompanying XML code into the file somewhere, and it would work by selection depending on which Excel version loaded the add-in.
That's right.
Brilliant.
Yes. So there's the option to put in the XML blocks for 2007 and 2010, which is just the same as it's kind of the native XML for the ribbon interface.
Yeah.
And then I've created something which allows me to make hierarchical command bar menus. So you could have a single .dna file, which defines these three different interfaces. And the right one is loaded for the right version of Excel.
Sure.
Which I think is quite nice.
That's
also
very interesting, yeah.
one of the things that's a bit problematic is supporting images on the ribbons, because
yep.
it doesn't use like classic icon stuff. So I've made it quite easy to point to load up and point to the right image from your add-in, and those images would also then, if you packed your add-in or into the XLL, if you did the packing, if you use the packing tool, it would also pack the images into
sure.
the XLL that you end up.
Okay.
So that I think is
that's very neat.
It's kind of new and it needs better documentation and people to point to the right tools for creating the XML. And of course, I don't think editing the XML by hand is going to be the final plan for this.
Right.
But I think it gives us good support for making this at least, and setting out exactly how this should work.
Well,
what's also nice, maybe a bit unique to what Excel DNA does now, is you don't need any registration beforehand to make these ribbon add-ins work.
Right.
I register it on the fly. So again, you only have the single XLL, which if you open the tab gets created and the ribbon uni is loaded.
Sure. That's very cool. And that is on a par with where Excel is, to be fair, isn't it? Excel doesn't, although they've just added the ability to be able to create your own toolbars, I suppose, in 2010, haven't they? But then you can easily extract that XML and stick it into your Excel DNA file, as you know. So it's not a big issue even having to create that XML really anymore if you've got Excel 2010 or maybe another tool.
Yeah, if you've got the new Visual Studio and you create the ribbon UI with the drag and drop interface, there's a way to export the XML and then use that in your .dna file.
Yeah.
The other new feature that got added recently is support for creating RTD servers with
yep.
Excel DNA, and I think that will end up really being supporting code for some longer-term plans I have for supporting asynchronous functions and that kind of thing.
Okay.
But the RTD support that was added in Excel 2002 is a feature of Excel that really replaced what people used to do with DDE. it's a way of having data that comes, that streams in from outside, fed into Excel in a way that the calculations and everything work well. And it's not that difficult to use, but it seems people hesitate until they actually get it right. And normally you'd have, again, registration issues and the like, which Excel DNA now takes care of.
Okay.
And it really is the way of getting high-performance live data fed into Excel. That's also supported now.
So real-time data servers, for perhaps people that don't understand them explicitly, these are, you know, typically what Bloomingdale and all this type of stuff, these guys will expose and update market data and this type of thing into the spreadsheet, rather than sort of importing data from a database or something like that. That's what we're talking about here, right?
That's right, yes. That's like a Bloomberg add-in.
Yeah.
Would use that interface to give you a live doc ticker or that. But when you talk about the databases, it's actually a case where you really do want to be able to have some asynchronous query that might feed data in, because the hit to the database might be, the data might even be on a different machine or on the web somewhere, but you might still want to access that from Excel as a user-defined function or something.
Yeah.
You might want a function that says equals share price, and that share price is actually looked up on a website.
That's pretty cool.
And to make that work, you need something like the real-time data interface, so that Excel doesn't stop while you're doing that high latency
refresh
call.
Yeah.
And the real-time data interface gives you a way of for Excel to keep track of this outstanding call, and then when the information comes back half a second or whatever later, you can tell Excel, well, I've got the data now. It should be refreshed.
Mm.
So that's the kind of thing I think people will end up building with this,
which I think
might be quite amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It also gives a way in Excel 2010. There's support for asynchronous built in with XLL add-ins.
Say that again. Sorry, Govert. There's support for
asynchronous functions.
Right. Okay.
From XLL add-ins, and I think the real time data interface will give us a way to simulate that in older versions of Excel as well.
Interesting. So yeah, actually.
But I think that those are big features that together with the multi-threaded stuff that was added in 2007, that have been added only to the XLL interface. So if you're doing just VBA code, that's not really an option.
Yeah.
Not something you can access through VSDO. And so there's like this part that either you must go to the really hectic C++ side, or you can't access these powerful new features. And Excel DNA is the kind of bridge that says, well, you don't necessarily have to do C++ code and chase pointers around and worry about memory management. You can use this language and get to the right for these powerful features.
Brilliant.
That's pretty cool.
So I think that's probably all we've got time for. Thank you very much for your time, Govert. I'd encourage anyone to go and have a look at Excel DNA. It's a brilliant product, and like you say, it actually seems to be adding new features to old versions, which is pretty incredible. Thank you very much for your time, Govert. It's been great speaking with you.
Thank you, Ross. Thanks for the support. And, I'll keep track of what you're doing in the future as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Govert.